Friend, this evening I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 7 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 7 to 14. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the light of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake, thou dost sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And friends, we are going to continue with our lessons on Ephesians as we started some weeks ago. Remember, I've already said that Ephesians is about the church, about the church growth, how the church can grow, both spiritually and in numbers. Remember from chapters 1 to 3, we said that it is about what we have as Christians. God is building his church through us, but what he has given us, that we can use to build this church. We learn so many things that God has given us as tools for building his church. And if it is only when we follow them that we can grow, both individually and as a church. So it's about how rich we are, all the riches we have in building the church. And then when it comes to verses 4 to 6, it's about how we are supposed to use those tools, how we are supposed to use those gifts that God has given us for the growth of the church. I've already said it's all about the growth of the church. God is building his church through us, and he has given us all the things that we need, and he has shown us the way to use them for the church to grow. And we know that all those things are not supposed to be done by us, because we can't do it. We do it with his help, not with our own efforts, but in our obedience to what he has told us. And once we go with them, we know that the church will grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, remember Paul talked to us about unity, to walk in unity. And I've always said this, that without unity, we can't grow. Without unity, our prayers will not be heard. So Paul emphasizes it again here, that we have to walk in unity, and then we have to walk in purity as genuine believers, holy men of God. That's how we have to walk, because that is how we have been made. We are sanctified and set apart for God. We are special people, a unique people that God has set apart. So we should live in a way that people can see that we are different from any other person. That's why I say people can even see Christ in you, that within the Bible, by your own life, how you live within your community. So like I said, we are unique. We are a type of women, men and women, that everybody wants to become. Everybody wants to become holy, and that is what we have. So now in chapter 5, Paul has raised the standard a little bit. Last time that we had the opportunity, Paul was now telling us to imitate God, to be like God himself. He said we should walk in a way that imitates God himself. And this is a very, very high calling, isn't it? To walk as God. And really, this is not a new thing that we are supposed to do. Rather, it is like going back to what we were and how we were. Remember when God created Adam and Eve from the beginning? They were in his own image. It's only when they fell that the love of God and everything went away. But they were created in the image and likeness of God until they sinned, and then they lost that image. So what Paul is saying here is that we should go back to that love. So we should be imitators of God. And that is the standard, very, very high, isn't it? To be like God, the creator of heaven and earth, in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his everything. And the first way that he said we should imitate God was in his love. in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 to 6, he talks about the love. He said right here that the first thing we should do is to walk in love, and not the kind of love that we know in this world, the love of God, the love that made him send his only son to come and die for us, to save us from our sins. This is the kind of love that he's talking about. So remember that from 1 to 3, is we sit and learn about the things. From 4 to 6 is about walking as a Christian. And walk in unity, walk in purity, and now walk in love. Imitate God. The love of God is what he's telling us here to imitate. And just like I've already said, it is not by our own efforts. Otherwise, no one can imitate God. But we should thank the Lord. But as Christians, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to help us in everything we do. So this love I'm talking about is not the love that we know, but the love that comes from God. Remember, I think last 2 weeks, Pastor, in the Bible studies on Romans, he talked about this. And he said, it is only born again people who can demonstrate that kind of love. It's only us that have those capacity to love in a way that will be like that of God. So God, what has he done for us so that we can imitate him? He has given us a perfect picture. You see, a picture that we should all imitate. And the picture is in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I said earlier on, if you study Christ, you know the kind of love that we are talking about. Who is equal with the Father, and yet left his high office in heaven to come into this world. And we know all what he has to go through for our sins to be forgiven us, and for us to be reconciled unto God. So it tells you the kind of love he had. And he had this love when we were enemies, as we learned in the morning, when we were enemies of God, when we were rebels, when we were godless. That's when he did this for us. So it tells you the kind of love that Apostle Paul is talking to us about. Christ says that he is the only one who sees what the Father doing. So what the Father does is what he does to us. So we should imitate him if we really want to imitate God. That's exactly what Apostle Paul is saying. To be able to imitate the love of God, we should imitate the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Christ says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So you see, if you want to imitate God, imitate Christ. That's what he's saying here. He is the one that God has given him everything to demonstrate unto us. So if Apostle Paul is saying that we should imitate God in his love, then it is Christ who is our perfect teacher. John 14 verse 9 says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So if you have seen Christ, you will see the Father. So that you look at his love and you see the love of the Father too. Then in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, we are told that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And the same in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, that Jesus is the express image of God. So to imitate God is to imitate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then in the rest of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, Paul tells us that Christ was the perfect picture of the love of God. So if you want to imitate the love of God, it is only Christ he is the only one who can show you. So now we come to our verse for today. And our title is Walking in the Light. That is what Ephesians chapter 7 says. Chapter 5 from 7 to 14 is talking about walking in as children of light, because we have been born again. We have been taken from darkness to light, and therefore we should walk as that. We should walk as children of light. In verse 7, he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, Paul is again pointing us to what he has already said. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, he says, he has talked much about fornicators and adulterers, uncleanness, or covetousness, all those things that we have described already. Now he says that all those things we should not be partakers of them, because those things are done by people in the dark, those in darkness, and we have been taken from darkness to light. So So our lifestyle should be as people who are walking in the light. And now Apostle Paul tells us not to be partakers with them at all. But it does not mean that we should not even be friends with them or doing business with them. Then we can't even live in this world. No. But he's talking about partaking in their evil ways, partaking in things they do, which Apostle Paul is saying that is even shameful to talk about. Those are the things that he's talking about, that we should not be partakers of them. But not like we should not do anything with them. Otherwise, then we have to leave this world for them. But we all live in this world until Christ comes. We do things together, we go to school together, and therefore we always be together with people in darkness. But we must be careful and know that we are a unique people, and that our lifestyle should be like that of people who have seen the light. We can be friends with people in this world, but let them see our life. Let them see what we have, for them rather to copy us, but not us to copy from them, because they have not got Christ, which we have. And now he is giving so many reasons why we should not walk with them. And in all so many parts of the Bible, Apostle Paul talks about that we should not be partakers with them. And the first reason is that we are already partners with Christ. It is Christ who has come to die for us and to reconcile us to God. So we are in him. We abide in him and he in us. So if we are in him and we still go on with the sins of the world, then we are betraying Christ. You see, we are partners with him. If it wasn't for him, we would never have come to God. Now we are in him and he is in us. So why should we then now partner with people who are in darkness? So in verse 7, it says, not to join with the world in their false forms of love. The world, when they talk about love, it is the false one. It's not the kind of love that we are talking about here. And we also saw in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and then we talk about the love that is false and the love that is true. So it is the true one that Apostle Paul is now talking about. Now in verses 8 to 14, as we just read, he called us not to be partakers with the world in their deeds of darkness. Those are the things we talk about, the fornicators, the loose talks, the covetousness, and all those things are done by people who are in darkness. And we, according to Apostle Paul, were sometimes like that. In verse 8, he said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. If you have been born again and you have been given a new light, then you have to walk in that light. The darkness is in the way that we once used, and now darkness is gone, and now we are become Christians. So our life now is the life that Christ came to lead, and the same life that we live, life in the light. In our Ephesians chapter 2, as we talk about it this morning, Paul said that we walked according to the course of the world. When we were in darkness, we were walking according to the course of this world. Our traditions, our culture, our ways of life, that's how we were living. But now, we are no more in the darkness. So we don't conduct ourselves in the lust of the flesh as they do, and of the mind, but we should walk as the light of God. And this is a change that has come into us, a glorious transformation from darkness to light, to light. And we all know what it is to be in darkness and what it is to be in the light. When God created this world, and even according to the Bible, he said things were not, there was darkness. What did God say? God said, let there be light. And so light came into this world. And this is the same thing. We were in darkness and we have been taken to light. So walk in that light, not no more in the life of darkness. And it's not only that Christ has shined in our life, but we ourselves have been made light. We ourselves, we have been transformed into light as well. The text says that ye are light. So it's not like that Christ's light shines in us, but we ourselves too, we have become light, according to the verse that we just read. Say, ye are light. And if you are light, then it means the light must shine. You can't have a light and put it under a table. the light must shine for everybody to see. That's the purpose of light. So we were in darkness, but now we are in light. We were sinners, now we are saints. That's why I said in the morning that the greatest miracle is to turn a sinner to be a saint. And that is what we are now. We have been changed in so much a miraculous way. Therefore, at the end of verse 8, he said we should walk as children of light. And as children of God, we should walk in love as God is love. And that is what we see in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. All these are the kinds of things that we have been given to use in building the church. Walking in unity, walking in purity, imitating God, and now walking in the light. Now Paul is going to shed more light on this, what walking in the light looks like. And in verse 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God." You see, after talking about fornication and all those things, now here he's talking about goodness, righteousness, and truth. In darkness, it was those things. In the light, it is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And by doing that, you prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. We all know what these words mean. Goodness and righteousness are the exact opposite of what is done in the darkness. The fornication, the uncleanness, the covetousness, that is mentioned in chapter 5, verse 3. And truth is the exact opposite. Because obviously, goodness and righteousness and truth are the opposite of the life of those in darkness. So if we are going to live as children of light, we need to live like the God who is light. We need to be like him. Since he lives in goodness, righteousness, and truth, so we must also be. Because God lives in righteousness and in truth and in goodness. So that is how we must also be. Our life must be the life of truth. Everything we do must be done in the way that God does his things. So according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, he says, this is what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walking like that is what is acceptable unto God. Walking in darkness. Sorry, in light, but not in darkness. Then we can please God, and then we do what is acceptable unto God. I just want to say a little bit about this word proving that is said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. And what he means is that to examine closely, or to discover. That is what Apostle Paul is talking about to prove. And that is what is done. If you want to see something or you want to discover something, let's talk about those who do mining in the mining areas. They need light to be able to see where the gold or whatever mineral they are looking for is there. So it is only the light that you can use to get what you need. And that is the example that Apostle Paul is giving here. So light is so important for nearly everything we do in this life. If we say we want to walk with the Lord, we can never add darkness to the light. It can't work. You can imagine looking for something in this room and you are in darkness. You just have to be going round. In the same way, if you want to know what is acceptable unto God, then you have to walk in light, and then you can see it clearly. So what Paul is saying here is to find what is acceptable to the Lord. He's telling us not to use the light that we have. So closely examine and search and then discover. Use the light to examine and search and then discover what is acceptable unto God. You see, all these things that we are learning, because we are a new church, we need to do all these things and then practice it together to let the church grow. Then when we pray, we know that we are also working according to our prayer in the light, and then God will hear us. In Psalm 119 that we just read, the verse 105 says that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That is the word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Without it, we can't see our way. What do we need a light for in our path? To lead us to see whether there's danger or the road is clear. So light is what we need in doing everything. And this is what Apostle Paul is telling us to do in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Say, use the light that is from God to study the light of the word of God. And in so doing, we will discover what is acceptable unto God. You can't get it from anywhere unless from the word of God. And then you also become light, as He is. So we see that the reason why even in Christianity now, we are not seeing the power of God. I always say this. And it looks as if Christianity is diminishing. You see the other religions, the Muslims growing and all these things. It's all because we have stopped learning about the light of God's word and then obeying it. You have to learn it. You have to know what it is and obey it. And that is the only way you will be doing what is acceptable unto God. But let's move on. In verses 9 to 10, he says that we should live as light. And then verse 11 to 12, he says, how not to live as light. Now he tells us what darkness looks like. So what not to do if you are walking in the light. From verse 11 to 12, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. See, now 11 says we should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them. The word means have no fellowship. It's similar to the word partakers. It's the same thing. Don't partake with their things. Don't have fellowship with them. So Paul is saying that, he says the same thing here, that we should not partake with them in whatever they do and don't fellowship with them in what they do. Again, I remind you, it doesn't mean we should not be with them in anything. No, but we should just not be with them in their works of darkness. That is what we say. They are not good. They are not righteous. They are not the truth. So we don't walk with them. We walk the other way in goodness, in righteousness, and in truth. And at the end of verse 11, Paul tells us to reprove them. How do you reprove somebody? How do you examine to find something? It is only by you living the opposite way. If you are living in darkness with the world, how can you even talk to them? I read of an illustration that a pastor gave, and he talked about a student who was talking to his mate, preaching to them about the word of God. And in order for them to accept him, he had to go out with them in their drinking. When they are going to drink, he goes out with them, thinking that by being with them, he will be able to win them. How can this work? If you are drinking with them, how can you tell them not to drink? And that's exactly what Apostle Paul is trying to explain to us here, that if you want to prove them, then you don't behave as they do, but you go the other way. You know. But here, there is a problem. Apostle Paul is saying that we should not even talk about the things that they do, because they are so bad that we should not even mention it with our mouth. Then, how do we also talk to them? How do we teach them? He says in verse 12, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So now there's a problem. We are supposed to expose them, those things, but we are not also supposed to talk about them because they are shameful, or speak about those things which are done by them in secret. So how are we to expose them without speaking about them, without talking about them, especially in today's society when we say it as it is? So how do we do them? If they are living in darkness, how do we reprove them in their darkness? And I'm sure Apostle Paul knows what he's talking about. He's telling us what he's saying is from the scriptures, and the scriptures was inspired by God. So he knew exactly what he's saying. So if you go to verse 13 and 14, he gives us the answer. He says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. So see, the manifest word here is to make something visible. To make something visible, to expose something, you must make the other one visible. So this is what Apostle Paul is saying. He says, but all things that are exposed are made visible by the light. So if you want to expose some sort of sinful behavior, all you have to do is to shine. It's as simple as that. If you want to reprove people from their sins, then you have to shine so that they see the light in you. Otherwise, they are seeing only their darkness. But if you also live in them in the darkness, They see the same darkness in you, but they must see light in you. That's why I gave an example that if you are in a dark room and you are looking for something, it will be very, very difficult to find. In John chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If you are walking in darkness, you don't know where you are going. But once the light is there, walk in the light and let the people in your community, in your offices, in your schools, see the light in you. And then you can reprove them. You can't reprove them when you are also living in the same way with them. So it won't work unless you are living the other way, which is the life of life. So how do you turn the life of this world on? It is by speaking the truth and living the truth. You can't just speak it and live anyhow. You speak it and then you live it. So Paul says here in verse 13 that whatever makes manifest or visible is light. So you see what he's saying? He said it is only the light that can make visible the things in the darkness. So let them see you in your life. So if the light in everybody can, if your light can be seen by everybody, then they can see that, hey, what we are doing is not good. Because look at this man. Look at these people. They are walking in light. And then they can follow you. Otherwise, you will also be with them. And they will destroy you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. See, when they see you in your light, then they can see who God is and glorify God. But if you are with them in their sinful ways, then you are not being born again. Then there's no difference between you and those who are living in darkness. Here, Apostle Paul in verse 14 says, wherefore he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The way Apostle Paul put the word here, he said, therefore, you know, whenever they say therefore, then it means he's quoting some other verse or scripture. But here, we are not seeing anything like that Apostle Paul is quoting. There's a similar thing in Isaiah, but not closely as Apostle Paul. He said, wherefore, he said, who said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So he seems to be quoting scripture here, but we can't find that verse anywhere. So we can assume is that Paul is quoting from the early churches. The early churches, when they baptized you, that was what they were saying. You remember last Sunday when we were at the baptismal site, what the pastor says is, based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, you see, baptism, that's how we immerse people in the water and then bring them up. So, Apostle Paul, I'm sure he's quoting from that practice where in the early church time, that's what he was saying to the people. That now, maybe you have been saved, but you are sleeping. Now he's calling you to awake and show the light in you. And that is a picture of death and then resurrection. That is why in our circles we believe in baptism by immersion. You are dead to your sins and then you arise to righteousness. Say, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So really, we are not saying that automatically the moment you are baptized, then you become a light to the world. No, baptism is just the first step in becoming a serious disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the first step. There are other steps that follow. So baptism is stepping out and saying, I want to be different. I want to show the world that God, what God can do through me. This is exactly what you are saying when you say we should be baptized. You want to be different from the world and you want to offer yourself for God to use you as a disciple. So, in summary, Ephesians chapter 7, chapter 5 from verse 7 to 14 is all about how to be a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is only when we grow as disciples that we become light in this world. So if you want to be light, then rather, if you want to be light rather than darkness, then you need to be a true disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't just say, I've been baptized and then I'm living my own way. Then you are still living in your darkness. You have been brought up from death to life, and that light must show in you. So before we come to conclusion, let me just give you five basics of discipleship. If you want to be a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Apostle Paul has described all over, I there are so many of them, but because of time, we can't talk about all of them. So I will just give you a few of them, about five of them or so. I'm sure most of them are already doing those things, but we know that as Christians, we must be reminded of ourselves all the time. And the first one, like our five fingers, I try to use our five fingers as a picture of the discipleship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the first one is like the thumb. The thumb is what allows you to be able to pick things and to handle things well. And I'm sure it's maybe the most important member of the hand that allows you to pick things and also to hold things. Therefore, I'm equating that to the most important discipleship exercise. And what is it? It is the reading and studying scripture. If you want to be a true disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is by reading and studying the Word of God. This is where the light is. The light is in the Word of God. So to be a true disciple of Christ, the first thing, the most important thing, is reading and studying. You know, he's talking about two things. Not just reading through, as reading a story, but reading and studying. You read, and then you study what that means to you. What you read, what does it mean to you? What does it say to you? That is the first thing, reading and then studying scripture. If you want to be disciples and follow Jesus Christ, we can only do this through the Word of God, because that is where we are taught what to do. And then the second finger is praying. You can't be a true disciple if you don't pray. You see, in the Bible, we see God speaking to us. And our prayer is also how we speak back to God. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him through prayer. That is why we are always talking about people who prayed in tongues. Tongues is from God to man. God speaking to us. And then we speak to God back in prayer, intelligent prayer. So you pray to God, and then God speaks to you. So the second thing we need to do is to pray so that we can have a good relationship with the Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ, because we always pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It needs to have that communication, and this can only be accomplished through Bible study and prayer. Even if you don't pray, you can't understand what you are reading, because like we read from Romans, they are spiritually discerned. Unless the Holy Spirit Himself explains this to you, you can't understand the scripture. So reading and then studying and then praying. And the third thing to be a true disciple is to have fellowship with other Christians. It's not just coming to church one Sunday for about an hour and then you go. That is not enough. We need to have proper fellowship with each of our brethren. 1 hour on a Sunday and we go back to your homes, sing a few songs, is not enough. The Christian fellowship occurs when we gather together the rest of the week, when we can find a way of meeting ourselves together. I remember when our brother, Mr. Bwaji, was alive, he talked about this thing. And he actually started by inviting us to his house for meals and say, you sit down and then you talk as brethren. That's how Christians must live. You can't just come here one Sunday for about 1.5 hours and that's it, until the next Sunday or the next meeting day. We must live as brethren together. We must have a way of living together, meeting some other ways apart from here. And so that is the only way we can get ourselves away from the world and those who are living in darkness. Then the fourth thing is about witnessing and evangelizing. You see, We know it's not everybody who can even go round and share the word of God. Everybody has a way of witnessing or evangelizing. So you need to find out which way that is suitable to you and then start it. Because you are saved to help others to be saved. So you must find a way of evangelizing. And that is what is very, very important if you want to be a true disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must evangelize. You can evangelize through your own life, as I've said. Your own lifestyle can talk for you. You can evangelize whenever there's any opportunity, wherever you are. Make sure, I remember Joel Beakey, he once said that if a day passes by and he hasn't got somebody to speak to, he feels there's something wrong with him. So he would by all means make an effort. He said even if it's in the lift, if it's the last hour of the day and he meets you in the lift, he will talk to you. You see, he makes the effort to speak to somebody about the word of God. And you yourself, if you do that, you see how happy, how you rejoice in you for having the opportunity to talk to somebody about the word of God. Now, the fifth one is serving. Serving in the house of God. And like I said, there are so many ways that you can serve. You can give of your time, you can give of your money, you can give of your energy to help others, or meet the needs of others, or support the work and ministry of others. All these things are a way of serving the Lord. So the true disciple of Christ also learns to love and to serve others, just as Jesus loved and served us. Jesus Christ said he came to serve us. So we too, if you want to imitate him, then we must also serve. That is a sign of somebody who is walking in the light. So these are our areas where we are learning how to walk in the light, to be a true disciple of our Lord and Savior. And they are the top five that I've just given you: Bible study, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, and service. And please don't hide your light by failing in any of this. You must partake in them. We call it the means of grace. The means of grace: Bible reading, your prayers, your fellowship, your evangelism, and your service to God. And please, if you want to walk in the light, these are the areas that will help you. As we come to the end, I'll just call this. It says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine so that people will see your good works. Do all these things. Yesterday, when we were doing the road over there, and then a man came and I said, oh, we are from this church. We are, oh, yeah, that's very good. See, the way he was pleased to know that even a small church in this community has seen the need to patch up that place for them. These are some small things that you can do to serve the Lord. And you will be blessed as you do them. My prayer is that God will grant us the grace and the strength to be able to walk as children of the light.